News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Off we go, 8 o'clock hour. It is 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig, rainy, messy day today. It's not going to get very warm. It's going to stay kind of cool, but good weather on the way. Beginning tomorrow, we should have a good stretch. It is Tuesday, therefore we talk with our friend from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com and also novelist Quinn Hillier on the line. And Quinn, where can people see your stuff and also check out your trilogy?
Well, the trilogy, go to Amazon.com, look up my name, look up Mad Jones, that's my central character. And most of my stuff, but not all, most, appears at Washington Examiner. Just Google Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, or go to QuinnHillier.com.
Good stuff, Quinn. And let's start off with some local talk. I think the press release came out early last week, or it may have been 2 weeks ago, the revitalization of Bienville Square. Now,
I happen to be in the office of Carol Hunter when that came down. Of course, she's with Downtown Mobile Alliance. So it was the day I visited her. It might have been Tuesday or Wednesday of last week.
Now, Bienville Square may have needed some work before the hurricane season last year, but certainly afterwards, hurricane did a bunch of damage to the trees down there. But Quinn, your take on kind of the revitalization of Bienville Square?
Well, look, we haven't seen it yet, but what's impressive is that fairly quickly they've gotten plans together, they've gotten funding. This is a great job with private-public partnerships, and so you know the city's putting up some money, but they're also getting private funding for it, and it looks like a very attractive plan. And the bigger point I want to make is this is just one more example of how the Stimson administration has just been right on the ball on so many different fronts. They seem to be hitting on all cylinders, as the expression goes. I mean, look, they're revitalizing Bienville Square. They have they've gotten the cruise terminal back. They've got the at least the start of commercial flights out of Brooklyn. They've done an incredible amount to fight urban blight. They've finally gotten access to the Bayfront again and are going to develop that. The budget has been way under control. They took a very indebted or debt-heavy budget, and they've been running big surpluses. They've done a good job managing the infrastructure repair. They've got the St. Louis Street corridor downtown developing. They've got Broad Street getting revitalized. They've got Water Street getting revitalized. I mean, you can go right down the list, and they are really making progress. And I just think it's one of the most impressive mayors of any city anywhere that I've ever seen.
You know, and also there's more and more people living downtown, more developments for housing downtown has occurred over the last 5 years or so, and that's always promising when you have you really create a vitality in a downtown area when you have people actually living there and shopping there and on and on. And if it hadn't been for this pandemic, Quinn, I don't know where we would be downtown. Now, for the most part, most of those businesses are hanging on, including those restaurant businesses that are so crucial to creating an atmosphere downtown. They're hanging in there. So once we get this cleared up, maybe it's full steam ahead, even at a greater degree.
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, it's incredible that we haven't been hurt more than we were by the pandemic. I've got to say that both the city and the county did good jobs. It hadn't been a huge difference, but it's definitely made a difference. Both of them set up their own small business relief programs separate from the federal one, and both of them have helped, you know, dozens and dozens of small businesses in the area. The city was out of the gate first. The county did a really good job with their own. But everywhere you look, things that could be awful are, because of the pandemic, are not awful. They're just kind of roadblock.
Yeah, they're kind of on pause, right?
Yeah, they're on pause, and then things that were just sort of going along and not getting anywhere. Aside from the pandemic, are now going full blaze of glory. So I have never seen, maybe other than a totally different thing with a huge city, other than Rudy Giuliani's two terms in New York, I can't think of a mayor that has been this good for this long and is really just hitting his stride in year eight, getting better and better.
And, we've got the mayoral race coming up. I believe the election is set for August. And two candidates apart from Mayor Stimson, of course, City Councilman Fred Richardson and Municipal Court Judge Carlos Finley has entered the race as well. And, not every – I don't know if there's a politician alive who's gotten a 100% approval rate. I have a feeling that crime in the city of Mobile will probably take a pretty big role in the mayoral race coming up later this year. What are your thoughts? Kind of, we've got months to go, but it'll be here before we know it with this race coming up.
I think if he weren't running against a guy that's done an excellent job, Carlos Finley is a heck of a good guy. But I just don't understand what his message is going to be against all these successes, this string of successes. But the one area, you're right, that hadn't just improved tremendously under Stimson is crime. It has improved. The overall crime rate, I believe, is down markedly. The murder rate has sort of fluctuated and has not gotten that much better. But the overall crime rate is down. But everything else, again, we're just Mobile is hot, and, mm-hmm. and people across the country are noticing.
I think we can kind of widen our scope, and when we get to the next break, because I know that you want to talk about. I'm just reading your work in the Washington Examiner. I know that you have hit on a few things. Let's give everybody a little tease what we got coming up in the next segment, because I think it's pretty interesting.
Well, look, I always want to tread carefully when you talk about the subject of race, but the overreaction to every little incident that even touches on race has now gotten way out of hand, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about some balance when we think about and discuss issues related to race.
Yeah, I think that's warranted. I mean, there's not a subject that needs more careful examination and balance. Mm-hmm. Then race, because if you take it all the wrong way, you're doing a disservice to trying to have an honest conversation.
Yeah, and conversations around race seem to be a centerpiece of the Biden administration to this point.
That's true.
Going on, I think we're, 2.5 months? No, a month and a half into the mm-hmm. Biden administration. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Also, some of the confirmations for the Biden administration and immigration, what's happening At the border. We'll talk about that with Quinn when we get back. Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwood with you.
15 minutes after 8 o'clock, and you can chime in too, 343-0106. Love to read your texts, and would love to field your phone calls on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, show hosted every weekday by Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwick on FM Talk 106.5, 8:20, and on Tuesdays, we welcome a special guest.
Yeah, Quinn Hillier on with us. Reminder, you can check out the Mad Jones Trilogy at Amazon. All three of the books, Heretic, Hero, and Agonistes. Also read Quinn's writings at WashingtonExaminer.com. And Quinn, I do want to talk about your article you wrote yesterday, some racial grievance mongers should take a chill pill or should take chill pills. And I think it's fitting that we have you on to kind of talk about that today, with today being Read Across America Day. It is Dr. Seuss's birthday. I don't think that that's any coincidence that Read Across America Day is held on the birthday of Theodore Geisel. But it looks like President Biden has removed Dr. Seuss from Read Across America Day on the day that was his birthday and when they put it. Also, six Dr. Seuss books have been tagged for no longer being published. They say it's because of racist and insensitive imagery. Those books would be And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, If I Ran the Zoo, McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. I don't know if I know any of those, except for If I Ran the Zoo. But basically, there's been some criticism over the Dr. Seuss books and the way that blacks, Asians, and others have been drawn in some of these children's books. So they just, you know, struck it from the record. No more Dr. Seuss on Read Across America Day. I think that might kind of tie into your article a little bit.
Yeah, this kind of absurdity is just... there's just no really good words to describe the level of absurdity. I mean, okay, you might have some imagery that now people take offense at, but they weren't meant offensively. People have drawn caricatures all the time, and if the caricature was something that just showed, you know, characteristics without denigrating those characteristics, and they weren't meant to denigrate anybody, then don't take offense. I mean, there's an Eagles song, and it's a really good song. It's called Get Over It. Mm-hmm. And, you know, victim of this, victim of that is what Don Henley sings, making fun of the people who go around acting like victims. And racism is a horrible thing, okay? Nobody of goodwill is anything but appalled by racism. But when you start seeing racism behind every tree, when you start yelling racism for things that have no ill intent, there's something wrong with you, not with the person you're yelling about. The example at the New York Times, where an award-winning science writer took some students on a trip to Peru, and one of the students asked him, well, there was this example, she said, of a friend of hers who several years earlier, when she was young, used the N-word, and several years later she was punished for it. What did he think of that? And in answering the question, he said the N-word. He says, well, when somebody says blank, you've got to look at the circumstances, how old were the blah, 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 blah. So he used the N-word in answering a question about the N-word in trying to find out what the context of the N-word was. And the young lefties at the New York Times, when they found out about it, went nuts, and one thing led to another, and the management, which is weak and piddly and just cowardly, bowed to the mob in the newsroom, and they forced the guy out.
Yeah, that guy, by the way, was one of the best voices of reason about the pandemic as from the very beginning. I was listening to a lot of what he had to say. He was a valuable member of those trying to break down what was going on with our nation and COVID.
Not just that, he was so good that at the very exact same conversations where Dean Baquet, the cowardly editor-in-chief of the Times, was telling the guy, you really ought to resign, those same conversations, he was saying, but we're still going to put you up for a Pulitzer Prize.
Wow.
Unreal. Okay, if he's that good, and if what he said was not intentionally denigrating, but was responding to something else to try to explain it, there is no offense. There is absolutely no offense, and there's no reason to force him out of his job.
So do you think that the end game in so many instances like this with Donald McNeil at the New York Times, it certainly doesn't seem that he was fired because he actually caused, you know, people in the Times newsroom to feel uncomfortable. I mean, from the way you wrote it and from what I've read about it, it doesn't seem like he was using racially insensitive words, you know, on your standard day. But is the end game here out with the old guard and in with the new, kind of by any means necessary? And this just seems like an easy avenue. If you can pin something like this on someone, you can get rid of them, and maybe that'll be your job soon.
I don't know what it is. I mean, you've got a whole generation who have been taught identity politics and taught that race is everything, rather than being taught that race shouldn't matter. They get taught that race is the only thing that matters, and therefore they've been taught to be scolds, to be on the lookout for anything that might offend them, and not only that, but to act, but to consider it a mortal threat to their own existence or their own mental well-being. And that's not how we do things in America. I'm sorry. We're stronger than that. We should be stronger than that. As I said, real racism, and I'm not talking about just white supremacy, you know, I'm talking about even much more subtle forms of racism, needs to be fought. There is nothing wrong with trying to combat racism. But people tune you out if you yell racist at every single thing, and so you actually turn people off from the anti-racism fight if you're that oversensitive.
Riding back from Washington, D.C., Quinn, I told you this way back when. I listened to a podcast, and you were a central figure in it. You knew racism back in the day because this was in Louisiana at the time of David Duke and his political career in the state of Louisiana. So you had a front row seat.
During the 3 years when he was ascendant, I got some notoriety, some good attention for being, you know, one of the people that was most prominently on multiple levels fighting against him. So I take racism very seriously. I take anti-Semitism very seriously. You know, we got, my publication got some death threats, threatening phone calls and stuff for our work against David Duke. I bow to nobody in my concern about racism, but you actually hurt your case. If you want to fight racism, you hurt your case when you get people fired who have done nothing wrong, like this guy Donald McNeil, and I mean, I could go example after example after example. You know, you cannot watch Blazing Saddles on any cable outlet anymore without them beeping out the N-word, when the whole point of Cleavon Little using the N-word is to make fun of racists.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the great funny scenes in movie history when he holds himself hostage and uses the N-word, and the whole point of it is satire to show how stupid racists are, and yet you blank it out, and it doesn't even make any sense anymore. It loses all its power. Mm-hmm. You are hurting the anti-racism cause by doing stuff like that.
Good conversation, Quinn. We'll have to wait until next week to get your take on what's happening at the Mexican-U.S. border and what Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has had to say this week. But folks want to check out what you're writing. I know you've written about the immigration system and a lot of other things. Where can they find your work online?
The easiest, quickest way is either my name in Washington Examiner or go to quinnhilliard.com. And, yes, I've got a piece about how Biden rightly being slapped down by the courts for trying to halt deportation. He's not allowed to not enforce the law.
Thank you, Quinn.
Thanks.
That's Quinnhillier, by the way. Trying to spell that out. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, your phone calls welcome. Next segment as well, 343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Hey, 36 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, and, you know, start of a new month here in March, and I understand you've gotten some new deals passed down to McConnell Automotive. What are you guys offering this month?
That's right. We're going through them right now. There's some more money out there on trucks, especially three-quarter tons. I got a friend of mine that wants one, and we're going to hook him up today. We got a few in, got a few half-tons in, and don't forget our used car inventory. We've got a great selection of those. You can check all that stuff online at McConnellAutomotive.com. don't forget, Gene and I will buy your car if you want to get rid of it. Give us a call, us up, 251-476-4141. Give us the VIN and the miles. We'll give you a price right over the telephone. We're going to have a little gloomy day looking today, so if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget, we got the best body shop in Mobile. So give them a call back there, the same number, 251-476-4141. Gary and the girls and the guys back there will take care of all your insurance needs. Like I said, we're going to be here today and get a few cars in the shop and get them out of detail and get them right up front.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65 and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837 FM Talk 106.5. We don't usually... Well, let's just... Okay, it's time for Cuomo talk. We'll just get to,
okay.
Get to it like that. So,
let's get to some Cuomo talk. Let me tell you, though, there's some great guests coming on this here radio station today on the Jeff Poor Show at around 10:30 this morning. None other than Senator Tommy Tuberville will be on with Jeff Poor. I think he addressed the Senate for the first time yesterday, had a lot of interesting things to say, a lot of football analogies in his, I know. I was just as surprised as you were, Dan, that he used some football analogies in his first speech to Senate. But Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, will be on with Jeff Poor at 10:30. And then coming up in Midday Mobile, the sports betting legend Danny Sheridan will be on with Sean Sullivan, of course, to talk gambling in the state of Alabama. We have that bill from Senator Del Marsh, the lottery, casino, and sports gambling bill.
That's great. That's a great get for Sean getting a Danny Sheridan. Awesome.
Yeah, and Sheridan has a lot to say about that. So that'll be coming up, I think, in the noon hour of Midday Mobile. So a couple good guests coming on, and, of course, more guests throughout the day.
You know how they say, well, the story isn't all that sexy, so, you know, and you use it in terms that really don't have anything to do with sex. Well, it's... So Cuomo's troubles in New York that had been data and nursing homes and deaths and the deaths of the data and the way that people were put back in nursing homes. On it. So that was where he was in boiling water, right?
Yeah, real boiling.
Suddenly, that's not the sexiest story out there.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's in more hot water, and it's almost putting that...
on the back burner.
Exactly. More analogies. So, anyway, a third woman has accused New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of unwanted advances. Mm-hmm. Let's go through these one by one,
okay,
and see what the complaints have been to this point. And I'm not here to defend him. I'm just saying let's examine it.
Right, and you know, I'm not convinced that these sexual harassment claims weren't levied against Cuomo to draw attention away from the nursing home scandal. That's my hot take.
Wow.
But yeah, let's look at these. So the three allegations, well, at least made by three different women against Andrew Cuomo, and for each allegation, I'd say they lesser in severity. So Lindsay Boylan, this happened back in December of last year. She said that...
She worked for him.
And she was she did work for him. I'm trying to remember what her role was in the Cuomo administration, but she said that Cuomo, quote, sexually harassed me for years. Many saw it and watched, and she alleged that Cuomo exists without ethics, also takes advantage of people, including me, and ran a, quote, toxic team environment. Now, the Cuomo team denied the accusation pretty quickly, but she further elaborated this month, said that Cuomo asked her to play strip poker with him while on a flight back in October of 2017,
mm-hmm,
and probably, I would say, the most problematic of the allegations, forcibly kissed her on the mouth in his office back in 2018.
She resigned.
And also the office said that those claims were false, the office of Cuomo.
Right.
So then accuser number two here, Charlotte Bennett, and this happened February 27th. The allegations came on February 27th. She was an executive assistant and health policy advisor of Cuomo. She also accused the governor of sexual assault, said that he asked her about her sex life on several occasions in spring of last year, and also asked her if she had been in quote-unquote sexual relations with older men, and he said he was open to relationships with women above the age of 22. And Cuomo again denied making those advances. But then the latest one, which you referenced there, Dan.
Yeah, and I don't know how to pronounce the young lady's name, R-U-C-H, but...
Is it Rooch or Rooch?
Yeah, go with Rooch.
But she, and these allegations, I think, you know, came to light yesterday. She accused the governor of New York of inappropriate sexual behavior, said he grabbed and kissed her at a 2019 wedding.
Did he not ask to kiss her?
Did he kiss her or not? They said it was an unsolicited kiss on the cheek.
Okay.
And when you're talking about, you know, politicians, and I don't know if this is, I don't know. I get the feeling Italians, maybe I've watched The Godfather too much or The Sopranos too much. I feel like that's a common, you know, come up kiss on the cheek.
Maybe culturally.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she said it was an unsolicited kiss on the cheek, and she said at this wedding, he said, "Can I kiss you? I was so confused and shocked and embarrassed." Also said she had to remove his hand from, I guess, what, her lower back was the other accusation there.
Yeah, like you said, the gateway to the rump.
So, yeah, you know, it's just above it.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, my take on this, and I'd love to hear your take as well, is I think there are a lot of things you can hammer Governor Cuomo about.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start with, you know, sending the COVID positive elderly back into nursing homes where the virus can spread rampantly.
Right.
And then allegedly covering up the deaths that occurred in those nursing homes from that decision that was made.
Actual stories.
I would say that was a pretty important story.
Right.
Now, sexual assault allegations, there are a lot of credible ones out there and a lot of disgusting acts that have been made, and I don't think that Cuomo is necessarily, you know, a passive guy mm-hmm. when he wants to make a move.
Yeah.
And to act like this hasn't happened, not just in powerful positions, although people in powerful positions have had plenty of allegations levied against them. But, I mean, you're talking about the governor of New York, so
right.
that adds a layer to this. But the "can I kiss you" thing is something I'm having trouble getting over because...
That's the whole thing, right? He's asking for permission rather than stepping in, right?
Exactly. Wouldn't you rather be asked for permission to be kissed?
It may be uncomfortable, but he's not... Yeah, so let's put that... We're putting that on the other side of the line, right?
Right, okay.
So the other two are seem to be, you know, have some merit to it. And I think you also have to factor in a few things. Number one, he's your boss. That's, you know, so he's got power over you. Number two, he's got power over a lot of people. You see him on national TV every day breaking down COVID-19, you know, in your workplace. You're like, that's an important man right there.
Right, yeah. He's lost his temper plenty of times.
Exactly. He's an important man. He's a powerful man. He displays that at every turn. He never seems like a meek guy. He walks all over the mayor of New York City. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was almost like the nerd calling out the star athlete.
Yeah,
like
the nerd finally got to snitch on the jock and get him suspended.
De Blasio couldn't wait for that opportunity. So there is a way you need to behave, and he's behaving more like he's in the era of Mad Men. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, man, this is now we understand there's a lot of things about this era, cancel culture, on and on, that we're not big fans of. At the same time, society does kind of move on. Certain things are now frowned upon. And when you are the governor of a state, and when you have females that work under you, there's got to be an understanding of how to treat said females.
Right. But I think if Cuomo expects like any kind of backup from any conservatives, a lot of people on the right are looking at this like, sucks to be you. You know, we kind of tried to tell you that this road we were on with firing people, completely ending and ruining careers because of, you know, certain allegations that may or may not have been proven true. Now, if I had to put my money on it, I would say Cuomo probably not the nicest person to work for.
You have to guess that, sure.
Yeah, that would be my assumption.
I don't think he'd question that. Being that sort of guy is who he is.
Right.
That's how we get things done. Not by being huddle up, let's be a nice guy.
But so many on the right right now are just relishing this because they're like, you know, we tried to tell you. And now the left is eating their own. If you don't think Cuomo has gained advantages by knocking people out of positions because of allegations that have been made against them, I think, you know, a lot of people have made their hay by using those to their advantage. Now it's happening to him. I just think it's ridiculous that because of these allegations. And, you know, they should be looked at. People should look into these. But we're not even talking about the nursing home scandal anymore, which is, I think, one of the top scandals in America right now.
That's what it was, the attention of the nursing home scandal and the attention to CNN not covering it, mm-hmm. right? And then suddenly, here comes a little seep out here from the sexual misconduct mm-hmm. file. It's like, what's this now? And it's gained more... more momentum than the nursing home scandal.
And by the time the Cuomo book that was supposed to come out next week, How to Pick Up Women, awful timing for that one.
He wrote two books during the pandemic. Didn't know that. 847 FM Talk 106.5. We'll lighten the load a little bit on the way. Hey, y'all. 852 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Mobile Mornings. We going to go to the Space Hotel first to wrap up the show?
Yeah.
What's your pleasure?
Couple stories I wanted to get to we haven't been able to get to this morning. And, you know, there's talk of the first civilian-only space flight coming up later this year.
Yeah.
Well, this one company... Orbital Assembly. They are planning to...
Assemble something in orbit.
Assemble something. Man, you are sharp.
I know. I should be on a game show.
So their plan is to build the first space hotel and to have it operational by 2027. Now, I'm glad they're building a space hotel and not a space motel.
No, because, you know, you go all the way there and then you have to leave. Like, you can only spend the afternoon.
Yeah.
That'd be a waste of time.
Yeah, and of course the doors would lead outside. And that's never good when you're in space. So they said they're going to start building this station in low Earth orbit, where else, in 2025.
I wish them luck.
And they said it'll be operational as soon as 2027. And the first Waffle House will be in 2028. No, they didn't
say
that.
Space Waffle House.
But Space Hotel, they said there will be a slew of onboard amenities, themed restaurants, which you'll be sick of after 6 months.
Sure.
Health spa, a cinema, gyms, libraries, concert venues, Earth viewing lounges and bars. Now, where else can you get that view? Also, rooms for 400 people. So there you go. The first space hotel expected to be ready by 2027.
Okay. So you got Hard Rock Cafe close to the moon. I got you.
My friend went to the space hotel and all I got was this T-shirt. Stuff like that.
Yeah. They're going to Biloxi.
And also, Tulsa police said a woman's in jail. She tried to burglarize a home. What did her in? Nothing. But Cheeto residue on her teeth. Now, I imagine the officer said something like this.
This little baby can detect trace amounts of Cheetos dust.
So just like the Cheetos commercials, February 26th, patrol officers heard a report of a person attempting to force their way through the window of a home in Oklahoma. They get there. They found a window that was open and a screen removed, but a Cheetos bag on the floor inside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
This woman... who had apparently broken into the house and had gotten inside, jumped back out, left her Cheetos bag inside the home with a bottle of water. They find her outside of this house. She had Cheeto residue on her teeth.
Busted.
They put two and two together
and they said,
hey, we think you just broke into that house and you're going to jail and no more Cheetos for you.
Everybody knows Cheetos get on everything, right?
Yeah, everything.
Everything. They stain the world around us. So that was a bad move on her part. I think we need Leanna right here.
Okay.
Leanna! So we have an animal news story to wrap it up, but this is one that most of you are familiar with. Hey, Leanna. You join Dalton and us for animal news?
Sure, why not?
It's news about animals. A goat?
Oh, no.
A goat that was dyed blue and green got animal cruelty or a prank gone terribly wrong. What do you know about this story? The lady is claiming, I thought it was my cousin's goat, but it wasn't her cousin's goat. It was down in Gulf Shores. It's made national news now. This is a national story. Dalton, are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm plainly aware, but I thought we had the scoop. I thought that, I saw WKRG reported it. I was like, I can't wait to tell the masses about this stolen goat story.
So now we've got to tell it we know you heard about it. But,
yeah.
So we're going to a deep dive on the tie-dyed goat.
Mm-hmm.
How did this lady, why does she, I mean, there was something about shampoo in the story, but it never explains how or why she tie-dyed the goat and thought it was funny.
Right. Well, she wanted to show it to her daughter because apparently her daughter loves goats.
Right.
Especially stolen goats.
Yeah. Apparently. And thought it was her cousin's and thought she would play a prank on her cousin. I mean, that's kind of mean.
How many goats are out there that in Gulf Shores where you get to say, well, that goat's got to be my cousin's goat because there's only so many down here on the island?
Well, you know, I think this goat actually hails from Lillian. That's where this goat originated.
Okay.
So I think many more goats in Lillian than in actual Gulf Shores.
Exactly.
But this is the only now blue and green goat from Lillian.
It's like an Army-Navy prank. Isn't one of their mascots a goat? And you can see the Army guys stealing the Navy goat and then tie-dyeing it into the Army colors.
So I think that's a ram, by the way.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think you're
it's
right.
It's just
about
a goat with horns, if we're being honest.
It's a goat with great accessories.
No, no, you're right. Bill the Goat, mascot of the Naval Academy.
All right, so break it down for us, Leanna. I'd like a woman's perspective on this. There's a lady that's in trouble. Dalton and I can't relate to that. Mm-hmm. We're not women, and we've never done anything weird with a goat. Mm-hmm. I say. Dalton?
Yeah, I have not. You can take that to the bank.
You write that in ink?
Yeah.
So what is the final, what's the jury verdict on this story, and what's going on here? There's got to be parts of the story we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too. I think that maybe she took it, way too far, and she used food coloring and some kind of shampoo. That's a lot of work to wash a goat.
Mm-hmm. Right. She was supposed to shampoo the goat. The shampooing turned into some coloring session, like they're at a salon.
Yeah.
And now it looks like the charges look like they're pretty...
Well, yeah, I mean...
It's no joke now, right?
So, you know, jury trials are back in session.
Right.
Leanna, we'll let you be the judge in this case, innocent or guilty. And if guilty, death sentence or life behind bars?
I say guilty, but not that bad. I think that she should be sentenced to washing goats.
That's
for
a good
idea. All of the summer. I mean, and not dyeing them. Please don't dye them again.
And you know, what about the goat owners who like what she did with the goat? Can she maybe start taking appointments?
Monetizing the whole thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Dalton is such a capitalist. Have you noticed that about him?
Well, I mean, this is great advertisement for her business now.
It is.
What would you name it?
If you scoot the trial aside and the fact that she was arrested.
Well, maybe she'll pay them off.
Don't be making up crimes. 859 FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore on the way next.